Hey everybody, welcome to Game Goose. Today is October 5th, 2021. This is Season 4, Episode 10. My name is Dan Curry. I'm joined here on the field with Neil Brower. Neil, tremendous game. How are you feeling?
Oh, I like this bit we're doing. I'm feeling great. You know, I just want to get out there and try my hardest for my coach and my teammates. And God, I know he's out there watching. Thank you, God. And this one's for you, Mom. And let's pass it over to special teams with Clinton.
Yeah, from up here in
the players don't pass.
From up here in the booth, looks like we got a pretty good game going. We got players moving up and down the court and throwing the ball to each other, you know. And you know the team that scores more points, they're the team that's going to win.
So we started on a field. Clinton put us on a court. I threw to special teams, and we got a booth announcer. So we got
a lot of hats. Also, you were a player. Yeah. I was just laughing at the idea of something like just – interviewing a lineman, and he's like, you know, just out here just playing hard every day.
In the NASCAR.
Did he?
Yeah, he would like be in his like race suit, interviewing people before the race, and they'd be like, all right, I can go get in the car.
Well, anyway, welcome to the show. We're going to talk about video games per use.
Oh, I thought this was our sports episode.
This is our sports
episode. I wore my sports suit.
You did wear a sports suit. Michigan State football.
Yeah.
Look at you.
I mean, if you guys want to bro down on some sports, I'm here for it.
We've got to have done a sports game episode once.
I don't know. It wouldn't sports be that interesting. Episode? Sports games are all the same. Literally every year, they're the same. They tweak with like three functions.
Yeah, for sure. And I'm so bad at them. Like, I want to be good at like...
I'm just bad at video
Madden
games.
In general?
Yeah.
I always say, and I stand by this, when I first play a video game, as good as I am then is as good as I'm always going to be. So I never improve. I never get worse at a video game.
Nope.
Just that's how I play. I might have a good game or something, but overall, no.
I'll say that in my now 30th year on this earth, I can feel my first person shooter skills slipping.
going down. Yeah. Yeah. What have you been playing, yeah, Neil?
There's a reason there are no professionals older than, you know, 24.
Right, yeah.
And that's kind of old.
And I mean, they might, as like, you know, if that's all they do.
Yeah. You know, no, I mean, not really, though.
Yeah.
Like, even like, Matt and I were talking about this the other day, actually. There's a Dota player who they called like the grandpa, and he was like 26, and he was like, you know, the best in his heyday, and like was so good that he managed to stay on teams, but shifted from like a damage dealing role to a support role because he just couldn't keep up in a damage role
anymore.
You just lose that hand-eye coordination and stuff.
Yeah, your reaction time goes worse and like...
So there's a... I just talked about this so off topic, but it's not really. But there's a... in Sweden, they have a senior esports team called the Silver Snipers.
Huh.
And they are...
Do they have...
Average age of 71.
Nice.
Do they have competition? Does every European country have an elderly esports team?
They play against that Russian all-girls team.
they got put together by... what's the brand of your
computer? We've talked about computer? That before, haven't we?
I don't Aces. Know. Oh, then no. Lenovo, right? Is that how you say it?
Yeah.
They were looking to put a senior team together to, like, as an ad, like... gaming's for everybody, and they just got a bunch of people together just to do it.
Like, obviously there are like women that are pro esports players in Overwatch and other places too, but there was a all women's team that someone made as like a publicity stunt for League of Legends, and they entered into a tournament and just got completely stomped, like bad, like real bad, every single game they played
in. Yep.
like you know, 2-30, like every game they would just like get completely demolished. And it was like this publicity stunt, and they very quickly disbanded the team afterwards.
Yeah, you don't want to give gamers fuel, the people who say girls can't play video games, and yeah, then you just get 5 out of necessity, maybe not the 5 best.
Yeah
Yeah, they just entered a tournament. They didn't win, but it was just kind of like a publicity stunt for the thing. But they were talking about how, in the end here, how like there's tons of studies that like, hey, old people should play video games. It's actually really good for their brains.
Yeah.
So, But yeah, they got stomped by a bunch of teenagers. But yeah. But all of them said they wanted to try again next year. So that's kind of cool.
It's a young man's sport.
Yeah. What young men's sports have you been playing?
I have. Oh, boy. Nothing all that exciting. Nothing new. I played a little Gungeon. Nothing new, except for the Halo beta.
Yeah. I talked about it last week. What are your thoughts on it?
I think I'm just kind of... I'm cool with it. I'll never play it alone, but whenever you want to play it, I'll hop on.
Yeah.
It feels weird to me, which is why I say, like, I think my shooting's going, because it just... And I think something is a little different about this game. Just... I don't know. There's not like aim assist I'm used to or something, but like I pour my weeks into Apex. I know what a shooter feels like.
I wonder if that's Halo what just feels to you, because you play a lot of Apex.
Halo just feels foreign to me.
Yeah.
And I've been meaning to go back and play 4 and 5 because, I mean, we hop into those and we have some games where we've stomped people. I haven't even seen you carry, and you're better than me at Halo.
Well, I had one game where we played, but
we played like 30.
There's also, but I never, you know, it's very rarely that I would carry, especially that equipment stuff is throwing me.
Yeah.
Like, I have to remember it exists, A.
Yeah.
And then B, use it in the right moments. Because the only time I've ever had good moments is like when I have the repulsor that shoots people and I'm literally hiding and going, I'm going to push somebody off with the repulsor.
This is
like
the plan.
Yes, that's the entire plan. It's never like randomly like, hey, I have this thing and I know how to use it. But like watching clips of people play afterwards, I was like, oh, like that's what you should use that thing for. So big team battle, like the coolest thing, because you got ziplined to and taken off of a ghost. You do have the Banshees. And, like, that's pretty cool. Yeah. So, I like the game, again, like, it's more Halo. I think it's a very good Halo, but it's more Halo. I don't think it's going to be that thing where, like, oh, dude, all I've been playing Halo is Halo. Even the betas, they only gave us, what, 4 hours to play? I never played a full four-hour session.
Yeah.
Just because I can only play for 2 hours before I'm like, all right, I'm done. But I think it's a really good Halo. I'm excited for it to come out and have more maps and to change and stuff like that.
Yeah, I wasn't putting any knocks on it. Like, it feels weird to me. Other people are loving it.
Oh, yeah. It's got hype.
And I've been falling off the Halo train for a while. I think it'll always be a touchdown for me. It'll always be fun to jump in and play.
Mm-hmm.
Also, when there's, like, a ranked version, I'll enjoy it more. Because when you're playing a closed beta, or this week wasn't necessarily closed, but it was hard to kind of find out how to get into it, you're playing with the diehards. You're not playing with the casuals that come with a free-to-play shooter that are just like, oh, let's try Halo. You're playing with the people who've been playing since 2000 and blah, you know?
Yeah, we played some really,
really good people.
Like, super good people. But I'm excited for it to come out. I'll definitely play a lot. There was an article that came out, because I think I asked you about your experience. You're playing on an Xbox One S now. And I'm playing on the Xbox Series X, and we didn't really get booted. We didn't have too bad a lag. I know you said you had some every once in a while. The only thing I notice is sometimes when I slide, the camera like shifts down into where my crotch would be.
Yeah.
And like, so it's like
crotch cam.
So like you're right in between, like my legs, like are like.
It's a weird feel.
It's very weird, and it just happens every. It's only happened like 3 times out of the hours I played.
Mine would be like I'd mantle a wall, and then it would get halfway through the animation, and then it'd just flash back to me standing in front of the wall, and I'd have to do it again, and then it'd work. That was it.
But for being this far out, it felt pretty good. So with all the development issues they've been having, who knows where the story's at? Maybe it's all in the campaign.
Yeah.
But there was an article that came out because they had such good betas and like huge numbers and positive reactions that people were like, if the campaign isn't ready, just drop the multiplayer because they're basically separate. So.
Oh, they already are. If you pre-download them, it says multiplayer.
Because the multiplayer is free and then the campaign you pay for.
No, I'm really looking forward to the story too.
Like, me too.
Yeah.
I'm probably more interested in that because I knew what multiplayer was going to be like, basically. But yeah, maps look great, having fun. It's much better to be in a party with your friends opposed to just randoms being like, you guys suck. So yeah,
I played a little bit before you could get on one of the days, and there was this one dude, I'm sure any gamer knows this, You're not talking to anybody, but you have your headset in, or you can hear the other team. There was one dude in our squad who was very nice, but he was baked out of his gourd. And he was just like, oh, come on, guys. We got to get it. We're going to get the flag. Defend me. You got it. Oh, God. It's like, who has the confidence to talk to no one for 30 minutes?
That
I wish I had that.
That happens
I'm scared
lot.
To talk to people I know sometimes.
It's because everyone thinks they're fucking... A streamer,
yeah.
So they're just talking.
Or they think no one's listening, so they don't care. I don't know.
No one's listening when I play games a lot, and I don't talk to myself.
I also don't like when they just leave their mic on, and you just, like, hear their child in the back or whatever.
Oh, as soon
like,
as I
mute
hear...
your fucking mic.
Here's, as soon as I hear you breathing heavily into the mic, chewing, or I hear your child, friend, or music, you're permamute. Don't care what you have to say. Don't care what mode we're in.
Nothing's worse than like either a kid playing or a guy playing and his mom or his wife is like asking him to do something and he's like, after this game. Like, that's the absolute worst.
You are the reason
I
have a bad
so
game.
Embarrassed for that person. Yeah. Like, fucking mute your mic,
you
just dude.
You gotta hop on and be like, do your chores, man.
Just nicely, bro. Right.
Just be a goddamn adult.
Right? Like, you can say after this game, but not like, after this game, come on. Jeez.
Yeah. Oh, and I went back and I played the Titanfall 2 campaign again and beat it. It's like 6 hours long.
I say, it's not that long because you
so
were...
so fun.
Yeah, it's a good one. Clint, what do you got?
I haven't played anything, honestly. Yeah. I've played a fuck ton of Final Fantasy 14.
Mm-hmm.
But that's about it. Got through last night, finished the Heavensward patch quests, and I'm on to Stormblood now.
Nice.
So I still have to get through Stormblood and then Shadowbringers.
How many hours do you have in this thing?
And then Endwalker comes out not too long from now. I think November? I don't know. Might have to look at it. I have zero idea. Because there was a long time where I was just playing when I was blackout drunk, and that was the only time I was playing. So there was like a good stretch where I beat the end of the first, like, of... you know, it's probably like 3/4 of the way through the like base game to the end of the base game, and I don't remember any of it.
Well, you remember for a while, you're like, I'm not really playing, I'm just gambling.
In the casino. That was, well. Yeah, in the casino, yeah.
Yeah.
And I stopped doing that and started actually doing main storyline quests. And I've gotten pretty far. I hammered through all of Heaven's Ward here not too long ago. Everyone's always like, you gotta watch the cutscenes, you gotta like read all the shit. And I'm just like, click, 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 click.
Who cares?
Like, I'm not
I'll read it later.
Yeah. I'm not playing this for the story. Like, come on.
Yeah. That's like, we looked up my Fallout 4 because we always talk about, I never really played Fallout 4. I just like built some settlements and houses.
Hundreds
and
of hours on it.
Oh, I have. We looked at it the other day, and I have like 60 or 70 hours in a Fallout 4, and I got to play Weapon.
And I had like half of what he had through two playthroughs, one of which I could have beaten the game.
Yeah. And you were much higher level. I was like, yeah, I just like built houses. That's why I like 76 more, is because it's like that actually part of it, but. On my end, yeah, Halo Infinite and Slay the Spire. I think I dabbled in a couple like new games around Game Pass or whatever. Oh no, I forgot about, yeah, so I'm trying to play Slay the Spire more. I want to beat the heart at least once, and I swear I've gotten, maybe that's the game I've gotten worse at. I can't fucking even get to the heart at this point.
Yeah, it's so much luck about. In that
thing. Yeah, there is some luck, but just even, I'll just have a character that's just murdering everything and then something will come along to destroy me. But I forgot, I got the DLC to Outer Wilds.
Nice.
So it's called Echoes of the Eye. I bought the DLC because I had some Microsoft money and I was like, I had $35 Microsoft money. And I was like, cool, $15 on this and then I'll have $20 to do something else. Went and found out Outer Wilds has been taken off of Game Pass, so I need to buy the actual game to play it. So bought it.
For how much we talked about that game, is probably not the worst to throw them some actual money.
No, I really like that game. So just started doing it. It was a little too cerebral for me, and I was like, I don't feel like figuring this out. So I've turned it off, but it's really cool. So it's not anything different, like as far as what you're doing. Like, you don't wake up in a different spot.
Yeah.
You still wake up underneath that moon. You see the satellite shoot off, all that stuff. But you have to figure out a puzzle. There's a new thing in the solar system. So you go and you figure out this puzzle, and it takes you to what is basically Halo. Like, you are in a world where when you're on the ground, you look up, it's a big circle, and you're on the inside. It is definitely inspired by Halo. And you're just trying to figure out who built it and what they did and all that stuff. And I already know it's the Forerunners. No, but I just, like, it's pretty cool. It's all water-based. So instead of the world still ends, the sun still explodes, all that stuff. But there's the big thing that happens on this thing is there's a dam. And at a certain point in the day, the dam breaks. And then the whole world floods. So there's different things that you can reach at different times.
Yeah.
So sometimes you only get to this place when there's no water. And then some places you only get there is water. I have literally just been walking around and updating my ship log. I have not found that thread that I'm like, oh, this is where I gotta go.
Yeah.
I was a little nervous because I was listening to Jason Schreier's Triple Click and his review of it, and he was like, there's a part in the game that sucks and makes me not want to play it. He's like, I love everything else about it just as much as the original Outer Wilds, but there's a part that sucks. And when you first start it, it's like there is part, it's called Echoes of the Eye. There are moments of Echoes in the Eye that may be intense, and if you want, you can turn them down. They have like a less frightening mode. And I was like, how scary is it that they have that? And Jason Schreier is saying that, like, it sucks. So I had to look up that spoiler, because like the whole time I was just on the edge of my seat, like, what is going to be so fucking scary about this? And I looked it up, and it's,
don't tell me.
Doesn't seem that scary. That's all, I'm not going to tell you what it is. But it doesn't seem that bad. So I think they just kind of build it up.
And that's coming from Dan.
Yeah, just because Outer Wilds isn't really a scary game. I think they were just kind of like, hey, there are some...
That anglerfish scared the shit out of me.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's probably going to be on par with that amount of scary. But it's cool. There's new... the new thing is you get a flashlight, and things react to your flashlight. So you actually get a little raft that you can, like, push around with the flashlight and all kinds of stuff. So it's neat. The music, fantastic.
Oh, I don't think I ever... said anything real quick, but the opposite of jumping into a game and then being really cerebral, I bought the DLCs for Doom Eternal.
Oh yeah.
And I jumped into it, and it's like, hey, you remember how to play high level end game Doom after a year and a half? No? Well, fuck you. Here are 30 of the hardest demons in the first minute. Okay, I can't. Nope.
That's why I, like, usually don't do DLCs anymore. I have to really like a game.
And I really liked Doom.
I did the same with The Witcher. Like, bought the DLC way later and was like, I don't know what any of this shit does.
Yeah, I haven't bought DLC. I mean, The Sims, but that's not the same, you know. But even just, like, any game, it's like, do I want this DLC? Because, like, do I want to play more of this game at high levels or whatever it's going to be? So, I mean, you got the Pokemon DLC.
Yeah, but that's Pokemon. That's just like The Sims. More, it's just more things to catch and...
Yeah, yeah.
And I bought that really drunk. I probably shouldn't have. It's fine. I didn't want it. I don't think I do now, but...
Yeah, even, like, I have... So I got, like, for my birthday this year, I think, I got the Phoenix Rising, like, gold edition that came with all the season pass and everything. And I beat the game, and I was like, I don't know if I'm ever going to go back and play more of this game. It was a good game, but do I want more of it? So, I don't know. DLCs never really do it for me. But I'm trying this one. It just seems like a little more game. But.
And who developed Phoenix Rising? Dan?
Ubisoft.
What a bad fucking transition.
He tried.
Nailed it.
I think it's Ubisoft.
Daniel, there's your name. Who developed... What was the game? A Phoenix Rise.
Nailed the transition, Dale. They were talking about our favorite studios and developers.
The line gets blurry. Yeah, we were trying to sort that out. A lot of people double dip. But yeah, I think we were talking about genre last year, or not last year, last week, and I think while we were prepping for this, I was thinking, we kept comparing genre in films to genre in video games, and if there is a auteur, so to speak, you know, like a director, you can follow their line of work and see how their style kind of evolves, but you know what their through line is.
Yeah.
Like, if you're watching, a Spike Lee joint, you know it's a Spike Lee joint. Tarantino. Same with, like, Tarantino. Yeah, those are super consistent directors. And I think more than we should look to genre, we should look to developers. Not to say that developers can't do more than one game, but there is a through line.
Yeah.
Like, I would say, we'll start with Rare. Like, they cut their teeth on 3D platforming, but even with Sea of Thieves, sure, it's not a, you know, a closed story loop, but I feel a lot of their influence isn't the right word, but it feels like a Rare product.
Yeah. I think Rare kind of does. I think Rare's thing for the most part is like, hey, we take the hardware and we figure out how to make the graphics really fucking awesome. Even like to kind of, you know, like Donkey Kong was nuts on like to have that kind of 3D model kind of thing was it crazy. And I think Sea of Thieves is pretty crazy too, like the water and
that all water stuff. Blew me away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of what they do best.
I mean, there's like platforming elements in Pirates game.
Yeah.
Sea of Thieves that are really good and they're really well made and well designed. So I mean they even have that kind of through line. But yeah. I agree.
And they've been around for a very long time.
Yeah. And they made Banjo-Kazooie.
Yeah.
Yeah, they kind of just like they that. I mean, Sea of Thieves was kind of a weird, not a weird. It was just a turn.
Well, that's what for I was them. Trying to say. It is a turn, but I still would open it. And if I had to guess a developer, I would say Rare.
And then they have that new one, Everwild, coming out.
Yeah,
I think is what it's called. I'm sure the name will change. It that feels like something that his name is going to change.
Yeah,
I don't know why, but yeah, and I think in Rare, they kind of they also did Perfect Dark.
So, they did. You're right.
Yeah. And
Killer Instinct.
Right.
Yeah, they kind of have a lot of stuff. I think they're, you know.
They did GoldenEye.
Did they do GoldenEye? Right. Yep. Yeah, because they did. Yeah, they kind of did a lot of stuff. I forget about that. You know, I get stuck on the Donkey Kong Banjo-Kazooie and I forget that they did shooters and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think they're working on the new Perfect Dark, though. I think they're, you know, Microsoft's just using that person that from them, and I think they have the Initiative working on that, which is their new one to turn into something different.
But this isn't just about Rare. I was just saying, I think I forgot about the fighting game. Yeah, they really did take a left turn. But still, when I think if I were to say Rare to anyone, you would think of one of either Sea of Thieves or Banjo-Kazooie.
Yeah.
Or maybe Perfect Dark.
I think Donkey Kong originally, but
that's... Oh yeah, or that too. You're right. Yeah. But yeah, what was yours, Dan? What's the one you wanted?
One I was talking about?
Yeah.
Firaxis. That's somebody who has more like pretty much this is what we do. So they do strategy games and their only really deviation is it's like we either do large scale civilization strategy games or we do like battle.
Yeah.
Battles. So they make Civ and XCOM, and they're making the new that Marvel Midnight Suns,
which is XCOM with Marvel.
Yes, and they've made a couple other games that I like. But yeah, I think this is like kind of when you're talking about, like you're talking about like in movies, like Tarantino. Like this would be a studio that every time they come out with a game, I'm like, I'm gonna check out what it is. Like, and it probably give it a shot if it looks any kind of interesting, because they're just someone, a team that has put out kind of games I like, and they've always been good and interesting. So, so when you hear, oh, it's a new game by Firaxis, I'm in, you know,
mm-hmm.
I'm trying to get a list.
Yeah. And I can't think of any more names that I associate that with. Like, in my younger days, I would have said Bethesda, but they've had so many misses for me. Then I can't really say that. I'm gonna wait and see some reviews on those. But mine would definitely be FromSoft or Bandai Namco.
Well, probably not Bandai Namco for you. Probably just FromSoft.
Probably just FromSoft, but Bandai is a big part of
the
Dark Souls series. Speaking of consistency, I mean, Demon Souls through all the Dark Souls, Sekiro and Bloodborne are all that. I mean, they were all Game of the Year candidates, except for maybe Demon Souls. But that was kind of like, hey, that was the first Souls like.
Yeah.
But everything else has been critically acclaimed. Maybe not Dark Souls 2. I know it did well, but I know it was the worst of the three. But again, like, even from feudal Japan in Sekiro to I forget what the name is in Bloodborne, but some.
It's like middle, like, not medieval. It's like,
what's the period of the great. The Industrial Revolution. It's that period. Why can't I think of that? Anyways.
What are you talking about?
Well, what's the time period of the Industrial Revolution?
Victorian era?
Victorian era. Thank you. Yes, it's like that. From feudal Japan to that to, the fantasy, high fantasy world of Dark Souls. You can kind of... They definitely, it's got the same vibe throughout them. They're very different games, but it still has the gothic doom and gloom, especially like the body horror that you see in their enemy design. A consistent visual language throughout all of their titles.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. That's like, yeah, it's interesting. Like when we talked about Rare originally, it's like, oh, they make like cute platformers, and you're like, oh wait, no, they do like shooters. They do a lot of different stuff. But From has a genre that they stick with, and like Firaxis does as well.
Yeah.
So I think that's like when you get developers that get really good at doing something. It's rare, that a developer does something that's different.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think...
and well, like kind of hits it, yeah. You know, every time, almost every time.
Yeah, I don't know. I think there's a lot of. I don't know. There's probably a lot of developers that do make, you know, kind of varying games. You just don't think about it because, you know, it's not something you like. You're like, they're not making, it's not, you know, Rockstar making GTA on horses this time or GTA in a playground. It's, you know.
Yeah. Or Pink Paw.
Yeah. Or, I mean, they also have that, what's it, the Ghost Runner, not Ghost Runner, something Runners. Where you're a smuggler. Smuggler's Run. But yeah. No, I think that there probably are a lot of developers that you don't think of, you know, like, I don't know, I can't even think of any kind of like, I don't know, like Xbox Game Studios.
Yeah.
Like they make Age of Empires. They make Crackdown.
Yeah.
They make Flight Sim.
Yeah. Well, those are developers within Xbox Game Studios, is the publisher. I think it's a blanket for all those things that they own.
I think they're a developer too, though, aren't they? They're a developer, publisher.
I don't know if they have a hand in anything. I mean, not my cord. I don't know if they have a direct hand in anything, because I know that they're kind of a blanket like PlayStation Studios.
Yeah,
I don't think PlayStation does anything directly. They all do it through, you know, Naughty Dog and Santa Monica.
And I bet that's more. That's probably more common with larger studios, especially ones that have become kind of the left or the right hand of a major platform or then I bet they have the staff to be diverse and stuff and take experience or take risks and experiment with stuff, whereas I bet a lot of the smaller developers like Supergiant, who made the, if you haven't played this, it's got to be like $4 on the iPhone store right now. You can play it on anything now, but go play Bastion. It's a really fun,
Bastion's really, really good.
Short little indie game.
I like Bastion more than Hades, personally.
Yeah, and you're allowed to be wrong. I'm kidding. Bastion is a great game. It's got an awesome story, a badass narrator, and it's not that long at all. I mean, I beat it on a phone when it came out. But they evolved into Hades, as Dan said.
And they also have Pyre and Transistor.
Yeah, I have not played that one. But the two that I'm talking about have both been critically acclaimed over and over again. I mean, Hades was up for Game of the Year against friggin' The Last of Us 2.
Right.
That's something for an indie game developer. But yeah, like, where was I going with that? Oh yeah, they're a smaller studio. So, you know, they can't take a left turn, and they probably don't have the resources to do a first person shooter or something. Not to say that they want to, but
yeah.
I bet that when people really get to take left turns and make games that are vastly different than the rest of their catalog, I'm sure that's after they're wildly stable and successful.
Yeah. You should check out Transistor. It's fun. It's on Switch.
We'll do.
Yeah.
I trust them.
Yeah, for sure. I think another studio that I really like, I know some people have fallen off of it, but that makes a game, and they're the only, they make the same kind of game over and over and over, is Bethesda Game Studios. Bethesda Softworks has, you know, id and all that other stuff, and what's their other one, the big one that they own? We were just talking about Arcane and all that things, but you know, they make game besides Fallout Shelter. They make games where you're first person, you walk around, you can pick stuff up and, you know, craft things and level up.
Yeah.
They're first person. They're kind of like, it's very Western RPG based kind of thing. So yeah, I'm excited for them. Obviously, like, Fallout 76 was a huge stumble for them in the beginning, but I ended up really liking that game. And, you know, it's doing well now that it's basically on Game Pass. Also, Game Pass saved Avengers as well. It's like one of the most played games in the world right now.
Wow.
The only one for me, and I might go back and try it again, that I didn't wasn't crazy about was Fallout 4. But the one before that, you know, Skyrim was great. Fallout 3 is great. I really liked Oblivion. Oblivion's always going to be the one that's just kind of rose-colored glasses and stuff to go back.
Yeah, I can't actually go back and play it, but no. Boy, did I love it.
Yeah. For sure. So I'm interested in Starfield. I'm happy that they're doing something that's not Fallout and not Elder Scrolls next, because I just want to see what that looks like in general.
Yeah.
So I think Todd Howard kind of gets a little overzealous sometimes, and they also made Elder Scrolls Blades. He kind of does that thing where he's like, we're making something awesome, and you're going to love it because it's so cool.
He's a salesman.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not specific to Todd, though.
No,
that's
just for his sure.
Job. Yeah.
But then it's like, yeah.
But we should say that the fact that we know his name so well and call him Todd is a testament to how widely it's been.
There's,
you know,
definitely people
broadcast
who have, you know, kind of, they're like, oh, that's the face of that development team and stuff like that. And yeah, he definitely is one, like, you know, you get Phil Spencer and it's like, oh, he's going to meet with Todd Howard. You know, they're going to be on TV together and talk about the partnership. Like, yeah, for sure. So I'm excited. I think it's just weird they don't put out games a lot. So when people are like, oh, I don't trust it, it's like, oh, you just didn't like the last two. But there's like a lot, you know, overall. So we'll see what happens with Starfield. It, you know, I don't know. I don't know anything about it. So, but I like that style of game. I think it's interesting. And no one else, some other people have come close to kind of doing things like it. Obsidian obviously did it with Fallout New Vegas because they were paid to do that.
Yeah.
And then you have like Obsidian doing the Outer Wilds. You have Obsidian making that Avowed game that looks really similar to it, but not a ton of stuff feels like Bethesda Game Studios.
Yeah.
So I'm looking through a list of developers and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I mean, contrary to what I thought, it is really more like a studio will develop a type of game, it looks like. And like,
yeah,
that's just what they do. They don't really move through different, you know, mediums in the video game world. There are definitely some that do.
Oh, yeah. Like Rare.
For the most part, it is, yeah, just like, we make first-person shooters. We make puzzle games. We make, you know, competitive online multiplayer games.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's all very kind of segmented.
Studios, I think, that make, you know, a couple of different things. We talked about Rare. Blizzard obviously has quite a few different genres.
Yeah.
And then
Riot has, I mean, a MOBA and a first person shooter.
Yeah. Valve kinda
Yeah, I mean it's all the same engine. So true. It's all like the same.
But Team Fortress 2 is quite different than, you know, Half-Life. But I guess Half-Life and Portal aren't that different, really. Yeah. They're just one's a puzzle game.
Team Fortress isn't that different either, though. From
in
like the feel of it.
Yeah.
Do they have their own engine, or do they use Unreal?
No, they have their own engine. They have the Half-Life engine. It's like what is the name of it?
Let's see.
I keep wanting to say the Valve Index, but that's the VR thing.
Yeah.
Life.
Yeah, that's a publisher I missed out on being
Source.
Yeah. Source. Being a child raised in a Mac household.
Oh, and Left 4 Dead, they did it. That was Valve. But yeah, they do just shooters basically.
Yeah.
Dota 2, I guess, not Dota.
There's a Left Turn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it was like one of those things they kind of bought it, but I'm not sure. I don't actually know the like history of Dota 2.
Yeah.
Yeah. Another one that kind of doesn't have a ton under their belt, but it's kind of weird because you get the studios, you're like, oh, they don't have a ton under their belt, but everything done is great. And then you never know because sometimes their next thing might suck.
Yeah.
CD Projekt Red kind of situation. But like Larian Studios, they made Divinity. Like they made Divinity Original Sin 1 and 2, and it's now they're doing Baldur's Gate 3. And it's like, yeah, I like those kind of games that they make. I don't really see anyone else making them as well as they do. Obsidian kind of has their Pillars of Eternity kind of thing, but it just wasn't as fun.
Yeah.
So I'm excited. Anything like Larian does from now on, I'll pay attention, you know. But who do you think? Well, this is a dumb question.
This is interesting. I didn't know this, but Source, the engine.
Yeah.
They have Source 2, which is Dota 2, Artifact, which is a Dota card game, and Half-Life Alyx are all on the same engine.
Wow.
Pretty wild.
Dota 2 is pretty old, too.
2015.
I was going to ask, who do you think is the most, like, who's the best developer, like, or most widely acclaimed developer, but I think everyone's going to say the same thing. But, Neil?
wait, no, what's this metric? What am I guessing? Like, who's made the most money?
No.
Critics like the most?
Yeah, I would say just, like, out of everybody, like, if you were going to ask, who's your favorite developer out of, like, 1,000 gamers?
I mean, I would look for 1,000, I don't know.
I was going to say probably just people would just change, like, to Nintendo.
I was going
to
say Nintendo, but if you asked a bunch of adult men, I don't think they'd say Nintendo.
Yeah, maybe not. But I'm just saying.
I think if you asked the world and critics, they would say Nintendo makes the most.
Yeah.
You know.
I guess that was my question. But then I was like, yeah, duh, everyone's going to say Nintendo. But
Nintendo's never made a bad game.
What was that?
So Valve's never made a bad game.
Yeah.
But then they stopped making games for a bit.
They just released Half-Life Alyx.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. That only a fifth of the population could play.
Yeah. I'm
sure they've made bad games too. I don't know.
Yeah, Nintendo's weird because like they are kind of their own developer, and then they also have their own internal development themes that are really boring, called like, what was the one? EAD we saw.
EAD.
And then they'll have Research and Development Team 2, Research and Development Team 3, but they're all under the blanket. So like Nintendo's kind of self-develop their stuff. They just have teams internally.
Yeah.
So they do have Retro Games and HAL Laboratories, Game Freak, they have partners that make games as well. But overall, you know.
Yeah, I don't know that they have. Valve has put out like a bad game, actually. They've got, you know, Half-Life, Team Fortress, Counter-Strike, Dota.
No, I mean, those are all uber hits.
Left 4 Dead. Alien Swarm. I've never heard of Alien Swarm. Cooperative top-down shooter.
Top-down shooter? Oh, like a twin stick?
I don't know.
Okay.
And yeah, The Lab, a virtual reality game released for free.
Alien Swarm has a 77 on Metacritic, so I wouldn't say that's
not technically bad.
It's not that bad. No, if that's their worst.
If that's bad, how did I get through high school?
Badly. Barely. No. Yeah, of course Nintendo has.
That's an interesting story behind it too. So Alien Swarms, like I said, is a top-down shooter. It was a mod for Unreal Tournament 2004, and they hired the mod team to make a game out of their mod.
Oh, That's cool. I feel like we're getting more and more of those stories of like people being like, we can't fix our broken game, but a YouTuber did it. Let's hire him.
Well, we were just even talking about SNL, like how the internet has changed shit like that. Some guy who's used to do like TikToks to great at impressions is just suddenly an SNL cast member. And I feel like it's the same with like video games. Like someone was putting like a YouTube video like, hey, that thing that everyone's complaining about, I fixed it. And they're like, you come with us.
I mean, it's
get in the van.
I think when it comes to like fixing games, some of the more technical like skill based things, I think that's pretty cool. I also, not to shit on TikTok and YouTube stars, I'm sure there are very many talented ones out there, but a lot of the times I do feel like, oh, this one's on YouTube. That's just like a, hey, kids 8 through 16, come watch this, you know?
Also, just caught my eye. I was looking at the list of Bethesda Game Studios games, and it goes, so Elder Scrolls 3 Morrowind was the first one, and then everything else is a Fallout or Elder Scrolls game, except for Starfield. Except for right after Morrowind, they made IHRA Professional Drag Racing 2005.
Okay.
There's always like weird games like that. Like, we need some money. What develop, like licensing deal can we score?
What's the story behind Ping Pong and Rockstar?
That was because, remember, they were getting too much flack for all their violence, and they're like, all right, we'll make a ping pong. We'll make a ping pong.
it was like an engine test, though, wasn't it?
Yeah. Like, apparently, it's, like, amazing.
It was like a, like, we need to test out this new engine. Let's make it just a dumb game.
Yeah. Apparently, it did really well, because they wanted to take the heat off of themselves after Bully, I believe.
Was it Bully, or was it, like, a Manhunt game?
Ooh. Rockstar Games presents Table Tennis. Yeah.
When did it come out?
2006.
That's Bully.
Yeah, I think so. I think so as well. Which Bully wasn't even that bad. It was just all eyes were always on them at that point. So, and then, yeah, another studio that doesn't branch out and does one thing, Harmonix. Make Rock Band, and they make Fuser.
Yeah,
and they make DJ. Wait, did they make DJ Hero, or did the? That's got to be the Guitar Hero people.
I mean, they were Guitar Hero when it started,
so. Right? And then they moved away, and
because there was like two developers that developed it together, mm-hmm. And yeah, I'm not sure. There was some like infighting about it or something.
Yeah, but they like stick to their guns. Like, well, they have, but they have to because their name.
Is Harmonix. Yeah.
You can't be like, we make shooters now. For sure. But I think, yeah, like, some of the most trusted ones, I think, we talk about Nintendo for sure. Rockstar. I think people know Rockstar is going to put out quality. And then Naughty Dog, I think, is a big one that people know.
I mean, Naughty Dog's just been taking home Game of the Year awards for every other year for like the last five, maybe longer.
Right.
So it was Liberty City came out, and then Table Tennis, and then Bully.
Oh.
So Bully was after. It was a return to form of things. So Naughty Dog, the first game Naughty Dog ever made, I gotta say, it's a classic. It was released for the Apple II.
Wasn't it Earthworm Jim?
It was Math Jam.
Oh.
1985.
No, they didn't make Earthworm Jim. They make a weird game. They make
Crash Bandicoot.
Crash Bandicoot. That's
what you're thinking. Yeah, Crash was kind of where they hit the scene hard on PlayStation. And then Jak and Daxter, Uncharted, The Last of Us, more Uncharted. Now they basically make The Last of Us and Uncharted. They haven't made a... Well, did they not do their latest Crash Bandicoot? They must not have. Looks like the last one they did was Crash Team Racing.
So. Are you wearing your Nickelodeon shirt because you're excited for All-Stars?
No, I'm not.
Okay.
I did pull it out and was like, ha ha. I just grabbed the t-shirt, not looking to see what it was. Although, if I want to continue to wear the shirt, I need to become less person. So, Clinton, it's getting there. I'm feeling a little sausagey in this. But, I don't know. I think it's... It's kind of like in the disco era, people were always saying, "Hey, if you like a disco track, don't look at the artist, look at the producer." Yeah, and I think it's kind of the same with like developers. Like, don't just look at the name or like the title or the genre or anything. Although the genre seems to follow the developer. Like, figure out who developed it. Look at their games so you can see, you know, what else they've done. I think that's a good way to find new games. If you're bored, pick some of your favorite games. Look at a developer, be like, eh, what the fuck else do they make?
I should also be better about, like, actually, I mean, I know it's, you know, it takes a village to make a video game, but too, I should be better about knowing, like, game directors and stuff. Not that you can really, it takes so long to make a video game, not that yeah. you can really follow them. Well, you can follow them. It's just, mm-hmm. you know, every other 3 years or so.
Yeah.
But I'd be curious to see how much a game director has a touch on it, or how much a game director's job is to make it look like something the studio he works for makes.
Yeah.
You know?
There's also, like, I guess this one is kind of in between. It looks like Chucklefish is kind of another in-between boy. Kind of does a little bit of developing and a little bit of publishing as well.
Yeah.
Because they did Stardew Valley, and then apparently this new Eastward game.
Yeah, they're not the publisher of Stardew Valley anymore, though?
No, not anymore. They're still listed on their site, because I think he left.
They does the mobile. So they publish the mobile, and he took back publishing.
For yeah, he self-publishes. Yeah. So he can make all that fucking money. But yeah, Chucklefish, they did Wargroup. I don't know if they, you know, I don't know what they published and developed. But that this Eastward game is apparently supposed to be really good too. But that's another.
I think their website's actually really good at delineating clearly what they developed and what they produced.
Chucklefish?
Or what they distribute. Yeah. Because that's one of the websites I was looking at not too long ago. Looking at their games. And I think it was pretty clear, like, oh, this is one that we developed. This is one that we are publishing.
Gotcha. Yeah. I don't know. They have a really nice website, but I don't know about...
Because they have a bunch of games. They have a bunch of really nice games.
Yeah, I want to play that Eastward game. It looks awesome.
That Witchbrook game is supposed to be really good, too.
Yeah, they're interesting. And then someone else I always look at is Humble Games. They started developing their own games as well, because they did Humble.
Did they do Hand of Fate?
Oh, I don't know. But I know they did Slay the Spire, and they did... They did. There was another game I really liked that they did.
Do you remember that Hand of Fate game?
I do remember that.
It was the second one I never played, but I really liked the first one.
The second one looks pretty cool.
It's much less clear now.
It's a cool website, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't like that game. Oh, that one looks good. Where's the thing, though? Oh, I'm playing I actually dabbled in, like, three Humble games this weekend, and actually might do a couple.
I used to get the Humble bundle on Steam in college.
Humble Games did Slay the Spire. That was the first one. They did Hat in Time, which is also supposed to be very good. Wizard of Legend, Clinton and I played. They did Forger. That was okay. Void Bastards.
Right.
Temtem, the Pokemon kind of online MOBA. They have a lot of games. Iconfell, which I really liked. Karto, which I played and was, I don't know, wasn't great to me. But I played a little bit of Flynn, Summer Crimson, Unsighted, which I think I'm going to keep playing. Dodgeball Academia, which is like a sports RPG for Dodgeball. So, yeah, that's a cool little indie. You know, you got these little indie developers popping up. I don't think there's a ton of them that people really point to quite yet, besides Supergiant. I think people know, obviously. excuse me, what was the other one? Maybe Chucklefish, I think. People know that mostly from Stardew Valley, though.
PopCap Games.
Pop Mother.
All things mobile.
Yeah, that's just EA's mobile development. I think EA bought them, of course.
Probably.
EA buys everybody.
Yeah.
And then they dismantle
EA it. Buys threats.
basically. So, all right. Yeah, I think that's the end of the episode. I'm got a couple studios I always like to keep an eye on, see what they're doing. What are they up to? What are they making over there? What am I gonna get to play? You know?
Oh. Pens are being thrown. All right. Good night, folks.
Good night, everybody. Look out for pens.